Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. About 10 miles north of downtown Milwaukee, an astonishing collection of monumental sculpture resides on 40 acres of park and woodland. The parcel was the estate of Harry and Peg Bradley, whose legacies include the Allen Bradley Company and a breathtaking collection of art. Just over 4 years ago, the Bradley Place opened as the Linden Sculpture Garden. Recently, its executive director, Polly Morris, has incorporated a series called Women, Nature, Science. WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz visited the current indoor exhibit. Before we meet the artist and her work, Morris explained how the series came to life.
I started this series a year or so ago because I was interested in other ways to connect what goes on outside with what goes on inside. And I had been looking at the work of various artists, all women, who look at science or nature or both and wanted to find a way to show them.
Polly Morris says she's tapping into interests she's heard from many who visit Linden Sculpture Garden.
We find that a lot of people who come to Linden are interested in the nature side of things. And the sculptures are not foremost in their mind. The fact that we have a gallery is not primary interest of theirs.
So Morris started with a New York artist who was captivated by Victorian women scientists.
And then I showed the work of Sheila Held, who makes tapestries. She's long been fascinated by the world of science.
The current exhibit features the work of fiber artist Kyung A. Cho. Although based in Milwaukee, Cho teaches at UWM's Peck School of the Arts. Morris says it wasn't easy pinning the artist down to a date.
Kyung A was on sabbatical last year, and we agreed that when she came back, we would do a show. And I was interested in showing her more formal work, which is very contained in many ways, very rigorous, full of repetitive actions. And then I wanted to show some of her alternate personality work.
Morris is referring to a hand-stitched quilt that floats from the rafters of the high-ceilinged space. It's a mass of colorful fabric petals.
I've been watching her work on this flower quilt for 8 years. So I said, the time has come. You have to finish this, and I want to show this. I also knew that she took these wonderful occasional photographs, mostly in her backyard, and they're incredibly close examinations of primarily bugs and flowers. Kyung A doesn't like to show any of these things. Yeah, they're really her research work. It's not what she puts out there in the world. But we made this arrangement that it would all face away from the gallery. Her real work could turn its back on her colorful work. And when we hung it in the beginning of April, it was still snowy outside. I see these people just poring over the photographs.
Morris explains the artist's real work, deeper within the gallery, reflects her connection to nature, the exploration of mortality. And Morris carefully adds,
she's working a lot here with hair, but Kyung A is a great saver of all things. I won't use the hoarder word. She'll collect something that interests her, whether it's a seedling or a leaf, twig, and she'll sit on it for as many years as it takes till she figures out how it's going to work its way into a piece of art.
Kyung A. Cho says growing up in South Korea, she had known nothing about fine art. As a child, she loved snapping photographs, as you've already heard, and creating things at school.
There's always somebody who's in charge of decorating room, and I was one of those, you know, learning sewing very, very young age from my grandma. And so I make doll clothing, and that led me to go to art school thinking that I was going to be a fashion designer because that's the only thing I knew. I mean, there's no artists around me.
Once in college, Cho's world expanded. She discovered her passion, fiber art for art's sake.
I love doing it. I never get tired of it. So kind of one thing led to the other, and then I decided to go study more.
That's when she came to the United States. Cho earned an MFA from Cranbrook Academy of Art in Michigan. She later taught at the Kansas City Art Institute before coming to Milwaukee. Cho returns home to South Korea every summer to spend time with her parents. They still can't quite fathom what it is she does for a living.
My parents keep asking, when are you going to make dress? Because that's what I thought it was going to be.
go look at the tree first. And okay. Then
Cho shows me a series fashioned around maple tree sprouts. The artist says she grew up with a reverence for trees.
After the war, there are a lot of buildings burned down, so growing trees seems like so long project. I always remember, but here, it's like maple. If you don't do anything, you grow like, you know. It's like, how did the tree grow so fast here, you know?
Cho experiences a degree of guilt each time she weeds a wee maple out of her garden. She saved, actually still does, the most beautiful ones, carefully washes, dries them, before coating them with polyurethane.
Get a little coating so that gives a little support to stay longer.
Cho positioned each mini tree on pieces of salvaged gold-edged paper. She accents each with artfully burned delicate dots.
This is a kind of burning tool, the engraving tool, and kind of thinking of yin and yang. Fire and wood can be a perfect match if in the right place. But if it's wrong place, it's disaster. So I think that idea of that balancing is always sort of embedded in my work. I'm thinking of also incense burning, and a lot of culture use that incense burning for kind of memorializing the death and, you know, so life and death, and something physical become smoke and disappear, and that whole two different world. So that whole idea is behind, but if nobody get it, that's fine, because first thing is a beautiful mark.
Would you start working in the corner with your burn marks, or does it just sort of happen?
Depending on the gesture, because to me, this is a very gestural, very human figure. For me, it's like dancing. And so the mark sort of comes to reveal the emotion that I connect with, kind of help viewer to see what I see.
So what emotion do you have there?
What is that? Like, sort of something is pulling in, you know, they're like center, but it's like, you know, tensions and sort of imagination happens.
And I always call my work collaboration with nature.
This is called marking with all.
Cho acknowledges some people might feel a bit squeamish with the raw material of the show's centerpiece, each 30 by 24 inches, titled Hair. Cho has always worn her hair very long, much to her mother's chagrin.
It's much more formal country than, Western, so there are certain things that expectation. As an older lady, you don't walk around with the long hair open. It's like my mom get like really annoyed. It's like, just do something with the hair, you know. So every time I go, I braided my hair, and that still looks not fit to my age, to my parents, you know. So I knew that it's something I had to do something, because I'm still, you know, to respect the culture.
As Cho approached her 50th birthday, she decided to do something dramatic. When she made her annual trip to visit her parents, she would have her hair cut. But Cho lost her nerve when the only hairdresser she trusted retired. Cho shifted creative gears. Instead of cutting it, she would collect her hair as strands naturally fell out, rolled it into small balls, dozens and dozens of balls later.
I just decided to make a calendar.
24 of them, upon which she fused layer upon layer of fabric, adding fine, even stitches to create a gridded quilt effect. Cho sewed in a ring of her hair in the center of each calendar. This 50th year commemoration links back to her native land. She has long lived away from South Korea, but Cho says with every year she realizes the depth of her roots. As for the hair thing, her grandmother lived with her family when Cho was a child. She, too, had long hair.
Grandma and great-grandma both have an old traditional bun hair, long hair. Every day they comb, they pile it up, and once a week the lady comes and buy that hair. And then she give a little candy money. It's not a lot of money, but in the candy money. But it's a kind of nice routine.
The hair was used to make wigs. When the era ended, Cho's grandma found another use for her hair.
She started making pin cushion, so she never still threw away.
Cho says she seldom does so much talking about her work. She's much happier fashioning it. One day earlier, she spotted a poppy blooming in her garden. She dashed to capture a picture of it. One photograph turned into 250. Cho has no idea yet how that image will make its way into a future creation. For Lake Effect, I'm Susan Benz.
Fiber artist Kyung A. Cho's exhibit called One at a Time continues at the Linden Sculpture Garden through July 13th. Tomorrow evening, Cho will share a picnic with visitors to the exhibit. WUWM environmental reporter spoke with Cho and Linden Sculpture Garden executive director Polly Morris.